Akashvani presents Morning News. Good morning, I'm Anuja Kumar. The headlines. Prime Minister Narendra Modi to interact with chief ministers to discuss West Asia conflict this evening. Election Commission publishes final voters list for assembly elections in Kerala. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jayashankar highlights urgency of UNSC reforms, streamlining peacekeeping operations and strengthening humanitarian supply chains. Rashtriya Swatantra Party leader Balendra Shah to be sworn in as Prime Minister of Nepal today. OECD pegs India's GDP growth at 7.6% during current financial year and 6.1% in 2026-27. And in football, India beat Pakistan 3-0 in SAF Under-20 Championship to secure the semi-final spot. And now the news in detail. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will interact with the chief ministers of all the states through video conferencing this evening on the West Asia conflict to review the state preparedness and plans. Sources said the meeting will focus on ensuring coordinated efforts in the spirit of Team India. However, the chief ministers of the election-bound states will not be a part of this meeting. Earlier, Prime Minister Modi had made a statement in both the Houses of Parliament over the ongoing conflict in West Asia and explained India's position on the issue. Mr. Modi had said that the government is ensuring smooth supplies of petrol, diesel, oil, gas and fertilizers. He had informed the House that India has expanded its energy import sources from 27 countries to 41 countries over the past 11 years, thereby reducing dependence on any single region. In Kerala, final voters list for the upcoming assembly elections was published last night. More from our correspondent.
As per the final electoral roll, Kerala has a total of 2,71,42,952 voters. The list also includes 4,66,408 new voters under the age of 19. Notably, there are 54 voters above the age of 110 years in Kerala. With the publication of the final voters list, including those who became eligible after the SIR and the completion of the nomination withdrawal process, Kerala is all set for a high voltage election campaign. Smithy M. Palliruthi, Akashvani News, Thiruvananthapuram.
Election campaigning and preparations have gathered momentum in Puducherry with the final list of candidates confirmed yesterday. As per the election department, after the withdrawal of 71 nominations and removal of multiple submissions yesterday, a total of 294 candidates are in the fray across 30 constituencies in the Union Territory. Political campaigning has also picked up pace across the Union Territory. More from a correspondent.
BJP Mahila Morcha National President and Coimbatore South MLA Vanathi Srinivasan carried out election campaign in the Union Territory yesterday. She criticized the opposition INDAA bloc, stating that it lacks unity and coordination and urged voters to reject it. MP and Pradesh Congress Committee President V. Vaithilingam launched his election campaign in Puthupet area of Thattanchavadi constituency. Meanwhile, election preparedness has been intensified at the administration level. The Deputy Election Commissioner of the Election Commission of India, Bhanu Prakash Yethuru, visited the Integrated Control and Command Center in Puducherry yesterday to review the functioning of various election monitoring systems. Bibina Star, Akashvani News, Puducherry.
External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jayashankar highlighted the urgency of UNSC reforms, streamlining peacekeeping operations and strengthening humanitarian supply chains at the G7 Foreign Ministers meeting session yesterday. Dr. Jayashankar said in a social media post that he spoke about reform of global governance. He specifically raised Global South's concerns about energy challenges, fertilizer supplies and food security. The External Affairs Minister is on a two-day visit to France to attend the G7 meeting. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, has pegged India's GDP growth rate at 7.6% for 2025-26, 6.1% for 2026-27 and 6.4% for 2027-28, with the country remaining the world's fastest growing major economy. The OECD's Interim Economic Outlook report states that conflict in the West Asia is testing the resilience of the global economy. The halt in shipments through the Strait of Hormuz and the closure and damage of some energy infrastructure have generated a surge in energy prices and disrupted the global supply of energy and other important commodities such as fertilizers. Global GDP growth is projected to remain broadly stable at 2.9% in 2026 before edging up to 3% in 2027. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsoneair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. Welcome back to the morning news. In Nepal, Rashtriya Swatantra Party RSP leader Balendra Shah will be sworn in as the Prime Minister of Nepal today. The swearing-in ceremony will be held at the President's office in Sheetal Nivas in Kathmandu at 12:34 p.m. local time. Balendra Shah was elected as the leader of the RSP parliamentary party yesterday, paving his way to become Nepal's youngest elected prime minister. His party RSP secured a landslide victory in the March 5 parliamentary poll. The 35-year-old rapper-turned-politician will also be the first person from the Madhesh region to hold the top executive post in the country. U.S. President Donald Trump has extended his deadline for Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz to 6th of April. In a social media post, Trump said he will hold off bombing Iran's energy plants. Meanwhile, thousands more U.S. troops neared the region. Israel poured more troops into southern Lebanon to fight the Iran-backed Hezbollah, and Tehran tightened its grip on the crucial Strait of Hormuz. Sirens over Israel warned of barrages of the incoming Iranian missiles, and Gulf nations worked to intercept fire. Heavy strikes were reported in Iran's capital and other cities. U.S. President Donald Trump's signature is set to feature on U.S. paper currency soon, a first for a sitting president since the introduction of dollar bills in 1861. The decision taken by the U.S. Treasury coincides with the 250th anniversary celebrations of the American independence this year. U.S. Treasurer Brandon Beach said in a social media post that in celebration of America's 250th anniversary, President Donald Trump's signature, alongside Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent's, will soon appear on U.S. currency, marking a first in history. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky arrived in Saudi Arabia yesterday for an unannounced visit as the war in Iran spurs interest among Gulf countries in Ukrainian arms technology. The two countries are set to sign an agreement on security cooperation, in particular, the protection of the skies. Costa Rica has announced it will accept 25 migrants deported from the United States per week as part of an agreement to assist with President Donald Trump's policy of deporting immigrants to third countries. Costa Rica's government signed the pact during a visit from U.S. Special Envoy Christine Noem, who was recently named to oversee the so-called Shield of the Americas. Costa Rica's government has called the pact a non-binding migration agreement. A U.S. federal court judge has declined to throw out the narco-terrorism indictment for now against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who is imprisoned in the U.S. after being captured by American forces in January. Maduro's defense had sought to have the case dismissed on the grounds that U.S. sanctions are preventing the Venezuelan government from paying the legal fees for Maduro and his wife, Celia Flores. In Uttar Pradesh, the festival of Ram Navami is being celebrated today with religious fervor. The main attraction of the celebration is in Ayodhya, where Surya Snan will take place at Sri Ram Janmabhoomi Temple, which will be telecast live by Doordarshan. We have a report from our UP correspondent.
Thousands of devotees have gathered in Ayodhya for the celebrations of Ram Navami. People are taking bath in Saryu River and Ram Ki Padi before doing darshans of Lord Rama in different temples. More than 5,000 temples of Ayodhya are decorated in grand manner to celebrate the birthday of Lord Ram. At Sri Ram Janmabhoomi Temple, after Abhishekam of Lord Ram in the morning, the Surya Tilak will take place in the Sanctum Sanctorum at exactly 12 noon. when a beam of sunlight will fall on the forehead of the deity for approximately 4 minutes, creating a divine and historic spectacle. After that, 56 offerings will be made. A full bungalow has been decorated in the sanctum sanctorum of the temple on this occasion. The temple will remain open for darshan from early morning till late at night to accommodate the large influx of pilgrims. Sushil Chandra Tiwari, Akashwani News, Lucknow.
On to sports. In South Asian Football Federation SAF Under 20 Championship, defending champion India began their campaign with a commanding 3-0 win over Pakistan at the National Football Stadium in Malé, Maldives yesterday. The win helped India move into the semi-finals of the championship while knocking out rivals Pakistan. India will now take on Bangladesh in the semi-finals tomorrow. On the second day of Kelo India Tribal Games, Karnataka swimmer Manikant L clinched the gold medal in the 200 meters individual medley, completing a hat-trick of gold medals. Odisha's Anjali Munda won the gold medal in the women's 200 meters individual medley, securing her second gold of the competition. On the third day today, events in swimming, weightlifting, hockey, football and wrestling will be held. The Board of Control for Cricket in India, BCCI, has released the schedule for the second phase of the IPL 2026. The second phase will feature 50 matches across 12 cities, including Bengaluru, Mumbai, Chennai, Kolkata and Delhi, running from 13th of April to 24th of May. The IMD has forecast heavy rainfall over sub-Himalayan West Bengal, Assam, Meghalaya and Sikkim for today. The weather agency has predicted thunderstorms, lightning and gusty winds over Bihar, Jharkhand, Odisha, Telangana and Uttarakhand till tomorrow. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Renu Kataria.
Thank you, Anuja. Government reiterating there is no fuel shortage is the main front page news in all the dailies today. The statesman says India secures 60-day crude oil supply LPG cargoes en route. The Tribune quoting Iran writes, India among friendly nations granted passage through Hormuz. PM CMs to discuss Gulf War, India's plans today, reports the Asian Age. Jewar Airport poised for takeoff commercial flights from late April, with the project being pitched as a cost-effective alternative for airlines operating in the region, states Financial Express. Hindustan Times refers to a US verdict ordering Meta and Google to pay damages for engineering addiction causing a mental health crisis. The headline says, landmark verdict on Meta Google addiction turns social media tide. Under the headline, West Asia war is a warning. It is also a window to securing our energy in the editorial page, the Indian Express writes about how every disruption in supply chains, every escalation in regional conflict creates inflation and fiscal pressure. These challenges must be used to redesign India's energy architecture by accelerating its renewable energy and a revised target of 1500 gigawatt by 2030 is necessary and achievable. Grid infrastructure must therefore be treated as a national priority. An Economic Time headline says AI hiring shifting to India, Philippines and Brazil when tech companies are sacking thousands in the US due to AI-led automation and efficiency gains. And finally, the Times of India mentions about how Delhi is writing its own script at the ongoing first international film festival of the national capital rather than competing with established film hubs like Mumbai. And with that, it's back to you, Anuja.
Thank you, Renu. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Prime Minister Narendra Modi to interact with chief ministers to discuss West Asia conflict this evening. Election Commission publishes final voters list for assembly elections in Kerala. External Affairs Minister S. Jayashankar highlights urgency of UNSC reforms, streamlining peacekeeping operations and strengthening humanitarian supply chains. Rashtriya Swatantra Party leader Balendra Shah to be sworn in as Prime Minister of Nepal today. OECD pegs India's GDP growth at 7.6% during current financial year and 6.1% in 2026-27. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.